across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Oh, it's not just me. It's Greg Bach in Waukesha. It's Kristen Lyerly in Green Bay. It's meteorologist Brittany Merlot in the Wausau area. And at the bottom of the screen, if you're watching on social media, it's Rob checking in from Tigerton saying it's 33, a colorful sunrise. I was up at Shawano Lake yesterday. There were people on the ice. They need to be careful. There is open spots. Rob, you're putting it very politely. People, knock it off. Be nice to the rescuers up there who'd have to come and save your tuchus. Ms. Merlot, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
I think we're all great. Temperature check. Everybody good?
Good.
Yep. Okay. Great. Greg?
Normal.
All right. Good. We've got temperatures around here that tell you why there's open water. It's 42 on Lake Wissota, 40 in Hayward, 37 Park Falls, Wausau 36, Green Bay 41, La Crosse 45. Wisconsin Rapids 39, Oshkosh 40, Madison 41, Waukesha 39. Brittany, there's nothing there that says the ice is going to get any stronger.
Oh, no, not at all. And today, why not break some more records? It looks like Eau Claire, Amory, La Crosse, Richland Center, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids will probably all break record highs today. And in fact, the entire state climbing into the 50s. Some of us may even hit the mid-50s to upper 50s the further west you live, and southern too. You're going to see those chances for the warmer temperatures. So here's what's happening today. We've got that low pressure system. It's in Minnesota and it's surging in the warmth. It's going to come in the form of gusty winds. In fact, in Iowa right now, there's a wind advisory because they're going to be gusting up to 50 miles per hour at times. Now here for us, we're expecting gusts around 30 to 40 miles per hour, but the closer you are to Lake Michigan with that open water, you can also feel those gusts really, really strong. So those winds are going to be surging in the warmth. We'll break some records here for us. Very, very mild today. Stay off the ice. Not going to be good in those conditions with strong winds pushing any ice sheets that are still out there. And of course, continuing to melt any ice that is still there. So we are going to see some spotty showers throughout the morning hours. We could see some pockets of sunshine in the afternoon. And if you see pockets of sunshine in the afternoon, then you have a chance for some stronger storms this evening. Yeah, we're going to hear some claps of thunder throughout the state. Now that'll really push in after 5 p.m. The only risk of severe weather is maybe some hail and some strong winds. Again, that's more targeted into the southern portions of the state where you're in a marginal risk today for severe weather. In February, even northern Illinois could see a risk of some tornadoes too. So really some upside down weather. Winter is kind of coming to an end here right now, at least this week.
I think at some point we should all be concerned that we are being punked. And that, you know, somebody is going to walk in and say, oh, we fooled you. You were actually asleep for a time. It's April. It's April. We just, you know, we fooled you into thinking it was February all this time. It's
right. Right. No, it's so funny. I was looking back at 1991 because we're breaking a lot of records
because
from
of course.
That year. And it was, well, but it was a really strong El Nino. Yeah. So I wanted to see what happened later in the spring that year. And we saw some highs in the teens in March. But then by May, we saw highs in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
and as Greg pointed out, we not only get the weather forecast from Brittany Merlot, but also a little weather poetry, a dramatic interpretation now by Greg Bach of Brittany Merlot's weather poetry.
Here we go.
Spotty showers in the morning hours.
Did you mean for that to happen?
No, okay. I said that.
You said that. You said spotty showers in the morning hours.
See, it's not the first time.
What I caught
you
was
say
the,
things like that all the time. You are more poetic air, than you know.
Yeah, the warm air surging in from, you know, to Wisconsin today. So we get a surge of warm air.
I love this. You know, this makes sense. You know, when I was in grade school, I had a poem published in a book. I should go find that.
Was it about the weather?
I'm not sure. We got to go see.
By the way, Rob says his prediction now is an April, he says April 2018 dump this year. In April 2018, did we get a bunch of snow?
We sure did. That was a pretty vicious one. Yes.
You mentioned 1991, Brittany, and that was, we were talking about that yesterday on Jane's show. That was the year that we got the snowstorm in May.
That was the year.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right. And it melted the next day. Was it the 70s?
Yeah. You don't know. You take each day, as Dr. Lightly tells us.
Each day is like a gift.
You take them all.
Take them all, and there you have morning spotty showers in the morning hours. So.
Perfect.
Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. So Kristen's going to be back at 7:30 with a couple of guests here that helped put on a bit of a public forum for not just for the 8th Congressional District, right? Talking about the legislative races in the area as well. And I feel like, you were going to be doing that anyway, just based on, current events. But the much more recent events of this border debacle in the House of Representatives, I think just adds that much more fuel and that much more enthusiasm to the people you're talking to in Northeast Wisconsin.
We're building a movement up here in Northeast Wisconsin. So here we are in Green Bay, the third largest city in the state. And in our region, of the 23 seats that are going to be on the ballot in the fall, only two are currently held by Democrats. That does not reflect the people of this region and what we care about. And we know that. So this time around, recognizing that we've got new maps on the horizon, that there is potential that our representatives will again have to represent us, have to earn our votes, we're seeing people just come from everywhere, stepping up, wanting to represent, wanting to be part of the solution. That was the event that we held last week. And that is the momentum that we are all feeling right now. Pat, I couldn't be more excited about the next 9 months.
And the two folks that you were doing this event with, who are also considering a run for Congress, they will be your guests at 7:30.
Mm-hmm. They're going to join us. And I should also mention during that event, we highlighted folks who were running for school board, city council, county board. It was everybody in the region who wanted to be part of this positive movement for change, for good, for solving problems. Really exciting stuff happening up here.
So again, Alicia Saunders and Kelly Peterson joining us at the bottom of the hour. But in terms of talking about the border itself, and again, it was... it's something we don't need the whole background again, but I'm leading into the frustration that Republicans are feeling with each other again over another matter. And we have previously played something from Texas Congressman Chip Roy, who has been upset with his party's lack of productivity. And now he's provided a little bit more fodder for the dysfunction of House Republicans. Let's listen to some of his most recent comments.
No, we're not going to just pass the buck and say that, any president could walk in and secure the border. I saw former President Trump make that allegation earlier today on one of his social media posts. All a president has to do is declare the border is closed and it's closed. Well, with all due respect, that didn't happen in 2017, 18, 19, and 20. There were millions of people who came into the United States during those 4 years.
No, and there's a clip as well of Donald Trump himself in 2018 saying the only way to close the border is for Congress to pass new laws about the border. So they know they're lying about this, and yet Gallagher and Van Orden and Fitzgerald and the rest continue to persist in thinking they're going to make this an issue. And yeah, people still are going to think the border is an issue, but they're also going to think these guys and their hypocrisy is an issue this year, Kristen.
This is their playbook. They just put a shiny thing out there. When real things are happening, when real problems need to be solved, they distract the public with a shiny thing that gets people all worried, that creates fear. And that is how they control us. But we're seeing through it now. The way that Donald Trump has deflected, has prevented us from solving this border problem that everybody recognizes as a problem, but he doesn't want it solved, clearly. People are starting to understand that this is about Donald Trump. This isn't about America. I really think that over the next 9 months, Pat, people are going to recognize how dysfunctional the party is. And it is really going to not only tear up the Republican Party for good, like they are going to have to figure out how to reorganize so that they can actually be, we need a functional conservative party. We need to be able to have conversations and compromise and solve problems. We've got to get back to that. And I think that we've just hit that inflection point where it just can't get any worse.
Well, and it's built on the shiny object is usually, you know, denigrating immigrants and, you know, scaring people in a not even slightly racist way. And fortunately, there are people that are bringing this back to economics. And we've talked before about how the Wisconsin economy, the farm economy, would collapse without migrant labor. And yet there is, you know, there's a new report out about, because of the unexpected surge in immigration here in the U.S., that over the next 10 years, the economy will actually be $7 trillion larger, because federal revenue will be $1 trillion bigger. And your reminder that undocumented immigrants, they still pay payroll taxes. They get taken out $12 billion in taxes every year that will come to you and me, but not to them, because they don't qualify for benefits. So there's immense economic benefits to fixing immigration, and they just don't want to.
They don't want to because they love that issue because it scares people. But those of us who really understand the problem, those of us who really truly want to solve this problem, will continue to focus on and continue to work on it. You know, Pat, I mean, you've been in the Senate. You understand how this works. The more we can get out and talk to people, the more we can have these difficult conversations, the more we can read below the headlines, the better off we're all going to be. And so I'm so grateful to you for bringing these issues up, and to all of our listeners for listening and engaging and sending us questions and sharing your comments, because these are those important conversations that we just absolutely have to have.
Yeah, Mary's watching on YouTube and she comments, Trump supporters continue to blame Biden and it's getting very hard to have or continue conversations with them. Mm-hmm. There is that disconnect because, as we talked about with the Marquette poll results last hour, there are so many people who they just hear that right-wing echo chamber. So they become convinced of all of these things that aren't true. It makes the conversations difficult, but for far too long, people just kind of walked away and said, well, there's no talking to these folks. And that's why you had nothing but right-wing radio for years and years and years. And yeah, it's something that we're getting fixed. And thankfully, folks like you and others are stepping up from a community level. So we'll talk more about that and some more of the day's news as well. And then, of course, our Women Win Wisconsin segment. And then allegedly, Luke Mathers will come back in here and we're gonna arm wrestle to see who gets to sit at this desk once again. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north live on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're just having some fun with John Williams on his 94th birthday, just playing some of these amazing tunes that he created for the movies.
As Greg flies around the studio.
Flies like Superman across the studios of WAUK, the shop. Please look out, look out.
Hey, have you ever gone to one of those movies where they show the movie on the screen and the orchestra plays the soundtrack while the movie
I would love that.
Great.
I would love to, but the movies that, like, they always do the Harry Potter ones, I would just be weeping the entire time because the music's so beautiful. Another John Williams, the Harry Potter theme.
He's done all of those things, and to be surrounded by the music, it's really different. Like, to hear it on the radio is one thing, but to be surrounded by that orchestral music, to see the orchestra playing, is really cool.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I would like that very much. Hey, we've been talking or writing in our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com about how Top Chef is their new season 21, which will be premiering next month, is, you know, based in Wisconsin. They spent last summer filming places like Milwaukee and Madison and elsewhere. Well, it was just yesterday that they released the names of the chef testants, I believe is what they call the contestants.
That's a horrible word. Chef. I hate that word.
I didn't make it up. It's not me. Not me. Anyway, Dan Jacobs, chef and co-owner of Milwaukee's Dan, is among the 15 who will be competing in the new season. You're familiar with Dan?
I love Dan.
Wow. Okay.
They are, this is one of the best restaurants in Milwaukee. Their food is so delicious. I want it right now.
Wow. Well, good deal. Well, then folks who follow this radio program and the issues that we cover, you'll like knowing that right after that announcement was made, our friend Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance reminded us with a film clip that Chef Dan was speaking before the Joint Finance Committee hearing in Waukesha, calling for Badger Care expansion, paid family medical leave, mm-hmm. and investments in child care counts, because he, like so many other restaurant owners, know that the key to the labor shortage out there is a level playing field. The key to small business success out there is a level playing field when it comes to health care and other factors that our elected officials could control if they chose to listen mm-hmm. to their people, their small business owners, and their workers.
Without that kind of coverage by the state, what they did at Dandan was, on top of your bill, especially after the pandemic, they instituted a surcharge. And that surcharge, all those fees went directly to the employees to cover medical care, anything they needed, a little extra to go the way for the employees. So, yeah, they have a really big heart for that aspect of the industry.
And so now we definitely have somebody to cheer for in Top Chef when it's on next. I'm not so much a Top Chef person as I am. You ever see Nailed It?
No.
Which is kind of the opposite of Top Chef, where people try to make beautiful creations and it just turns out horrifically wrong. And so they just sarcastically say, "Nailed it." Not so much so. Another story to tell you about that was in the news. I first noticed it from Alexander Scherr, the politics reporter at the Wisconsin State Journal, about Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue saying the state Senate may pass the Governor Evers' proposed maps and try to circumvent whatever might come out of the state Supreme Court. Now, they took Evers' maps and they tweaked them, shall we say, to protect some of the Republican incumbents, but they may try to pass either those or maybe the original Evers' maps, because they figure even though they won't be as gerrymandered as things are now, it would be even worse if one of the state Supreme Court maps says that. And I wonder, Kristen, if the governor believes said something along the lines of, "I'll believe it when I see it."
Well, and the governor will sign his own maps. I believe he has said that. But we know that the assembly hates the maps, that the governor's map. And the assembly wants changes. The assembly, folks in the assembly are very upset about how certain reps have ended up in the same district and they're going to have to challenge each other or move. So I don't know that this is a viable solution. I think, again, they're panicking. They recognize that the writing is on the wall. They saw the experts who came in and criticized all of these maps and called the Republican map and the Will map extreme partisan gerrymandering. These are folks who worked on the maps with the Republicans back in 2010. These are not partisan people. These are true experts. So of course, the GOP folks are worried. They're going to lose their majority. There's no question about it. And they should be worried, because fair maps are coming back to Wisconsin, folks.
Well, because it comes back to something we talked about yesterday with the border, and now you can say as well with what we just said about Badger Care and, you know, child care. If you'd work on the issues that matter to people, instead of just every moment we're spending talking about maps is a moment where regular folks at home are saying, "Why aren't they doing anything for us?"
Right. How many times have you had conversations with people where they're like, they're spending so much time, like federally, on impeaching all of these people? What does this even mean? All of this time where they could be solving the border crisis, helping us fix our dysfunctional healthcare system that's working for nobody, making sure that childcare is affordable. Like, there is no lack of problems that need to be solved, but there is a total lack of seriousness from our elected leaders when it comes to solving these problems. And we are on the cusp of changing that.
Well, and that's why you have as well, Wisconsin Watch just did a fact check on Congressman Derek Van Orden, who claimed that Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas told immigration and border officials in 2021 in a memo that they should not deport undocumented immigrants convicted of a felony. And that's not what the memo said at all. It said, along with felony convictions, there may be other factors to consider when removing non-citizens from the U.S. But the fact that they are just so focused on demonizing immigrants to the point where they get fact-checked on these things, mm-hmm. again, just illustrates a degree of obsession, either with the issue or with staying in power. And I just don't see it sitting well with voters as we continue to go through the next 9 months. Now, again, we saw Ron Johnson squeak over the finish line by running, you know, the most racist ads we had ever seen in Wisconsin. So mm-hmm. who knows how much lower the bar is going to go this year. But right now, if you focus just on the issues, people are going to be saying, what are you doing for me?
I just am thinking of Derek Van Orden and two four-letter words that start with F. And one is fear, which is what he enjoys doing. And then the other one is farm, which is what he should be passing, the farm bill. I know that's not what you were thinking when I said that about the four-letter word that starts with F. But he's like, it's fear over farm, Derek Van Orden. Do your job.
Do your job. That's exactly it. And by the way, there's still time for that. Not that we're here to help Derek Van Orden do his job, but they can't wait until October, a month before the mm-hmm. election,
yes.
to pass a farm bill, which is what they've currently got it scheduled as. They need to do it this spring, or it's not going to happen at all this year. There's still time for him and Tom Tiffany to have an Ebenezer Scrooge-like change of heart and embrace the work that migrant laborers are doing on Wisconsin farms. Will they do it? Coming up next, Kristen's Women Win Wisconsin segment. You're up north. Welcome back at 7:34. This would be, of course, Dr. Lyerly's choice for walk-up music on our Women Win Wisconsin segment, as we have every Thursday morning here. And this time the focus is partially on Dr. Lyerly and two other women in Northeast Wisconsin who are looking at the 8th Congressional District and other races therein as possibilities for women to step up and make some big changes in the year 2024, Kristen.
We are doing something really unique in Northeastern Wisconsin. We've seen so much fear and division, and as a result, lack of progress and lack of problem solving, that we've decided to come together, to unify, to work together to solve common problems that everybody cares about. So this morning, I couldn't be more excited to introduce two colleagues who I've been working very closely with, Kelly Peterson and Alicia Saunders. The three of us have put our heads together and we are dedicated to making sure that we have great representation in Congress from the 8th Congressional District. All three of us are looking at potentially running for this seat. So ladies, Kelly, Alicia, welcome to Women Win Wisconsin.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Nice to have you both here. Well, Kelly, let's start with you. Just get a little background on what you do, what you've done, why you're thinking about some great new endeavor.
Right. So I've been a journalist for, 24, 25 years. So I'm a former journalist. I'm an educator. And I have a passion for taking this country in the right direction. Look, we are going in the wrong direction. Congress is going in the wrong direction. Look at the debacle that we just saw over the past 2 days in the Republican Party. We can do better. Wisconsin can do better. This is not a functioning Congress. We need to be better. And that's one of the reasons why I'm considering running. I want to see a change for the positive with this country and the state of Wisconsin and District 8.
And Alicia, how about you? Let's have a little background on you and what you're considering and why.
I'm a Navy veteran, a single mom of two, a blue collar worker, middle class, working paycheck to paycheck like the majority of Americans. Honestly, women's reproductive rights are disappearing. LGBTQI plus rights are under attack. Our children's futures are disappearing. The promises our government made to the BIPOC community have never been kept. Our veterans are used as pawns on the daily basis. Our college students and graduates are drowning in debt. Our farmers are being forgotten, and our planet is dying. Honestly, we need people in Congress that understand that they work for the people and are there to work for the people instead of lining their pockets and moving forward into other positions in power.
Kristen, when you said that maybe a movement is getting started in Northeast Wisconsin, I think I see what you're talking about.
You know, I know it's unusual because we are so used to seeing people step up as candidates saying, I want to hold this office. But we need something different. The world has changed and we need to really work together. And I know I've said together numerous times already this morning, but really that is what we have to see. And something really unique about these women is that they've not run for public office before. But Kelly, there was something, there was a spark that made you go, this is my role. This is something that I have to do. Tell us about that spark.
27 bills is what Congress, is what Gallagher and Congress passed last year. We have, that's the fewest bills passed since the Great Depression. That's what sparked me. And our reproductive rights. And I think another spark, Kristen and Alicia, is how we're working together. We see both sides of the aisle always debating and always attacking. How about this? As Mike Gallagher even said, how about we work together? It was a quote from his website that he had up. How about we work together to get things done? How about we're not inactive? How about we become active in Congress? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that's so famous for Mike Gallagher to say something like that, but to not do it. We see this all the time. And Alicia, nowhere more do we see this talking out of two sides of his mouth than when it comes to veteran issues. And for you as a veteran who is affected on the ground, when Mike Gallagher, a veteran himself, says he's going to do something and then fails to follow through, you see that failure.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you go back to the PACT Act. He voted against it twice. And the only reason he voted for it was because his constituents called him and called him and called him on it. He should have voted on that like that. Number one, yes. No problem. He voted against the Veterans Service Recognition Act that would help non-citizen veterans. These are people that signed up as non-citizens committed to our United States Constitution. He should have been on board with any help for any veterans. But yet he continues to work party line and continues to go farther and farther to the right.
And give us a reminder of the PACT Act for those of us who are out there and aren't familiar with what that means.
The PACT Act has to do with toxic fume exposure. The biggest focus was burn pits, because in Iraq and Afghanistan, they would have these huge burn pits where they would burn anything and everything. And the fumes coming from those pits harmed our troops' lungs. And we've got veterans that are coming up with cancer and all kinds of different sinus issues because of the burn pits. Another part of the PACT Act is exposure to jet fuel. I was in the aviation field. I was exposed to jet fuel on a daily basis. And even today, I have sinus issues because of that. So
veterans are getting sick because of what was happening on base, and Mike Gallagher refused to support them and support their continuing health concerns.
Yes, and he wasn't the only Wisconsin Republican that voted no on these things, which, by the way, lets people go, oh, you know, well, is this a case of spending? No, this was mainly, if I understand correctly, just to make sure that instead of forcing every veteran to prove that it was the burn pits that caused their malady, it put the burden of proof, it removed that burden of proof that it was more likely that than not that you would rule in the veterans' favor so that they could get the health care that they need. This was a gimme from a legislative standpoint and took way too long for Congressman Gallagher and the others to come along on this.
Go ahead, Kelly. I just wanted to also mention that my husband's a veteran. He did 20 years in the United States Air Force. Very, very proud of him. And yeah, he refueled midair and he's got some medical issues as well. So Gallagher, I mean, it's it just that's Kristen, when you ask what sparked me, that's another issue that sparked me.
And an issue that has sparked all of us and that is really important to call out is reproductive rights. And nowhere does Mike Gallagher fail more tremendously than on reproductive rights. Kelly, tell us about Mike Gallagher's record on reproductive rights and your fears if he continues to serve as a congressman for Wisconsinites.
Well, look, treating women as baby factories is morally wrong. We all know that. And if we look at some of the track across the United States, travel bans, there have been proposed travel bans for Texas, Tennessee, Missouri, and Oklahoma. We can't have that happen in Wisconsin. We need to stand up for what we believe in, and that is for reproductive rights. This, Kristen and Alicia, we all know, is just such a huge concern for us. Such a huge concern. And it's something we need to stand up to. It's one of the main reasons, again, why I'm sitting here talking to you.
Alicia, this is a key reason for you as well. Give us a little perspective on what this means to you and why this is important.
To me, it seems like they're literally trying to relegate us back to property and tell us that we don't know how to feel and what to think with an issue on reproductive rights. Like, they don't want us to be able to have rights over our own bodies. Mike Gallagher said on the overturn of Dobbs, he said the power to make abortion law should have always rested with elected officials, not the Supreme Court. Today's decision correctly returns this authority to legislatures and gives the American people a direct say in the way abortion is governed in their state. This is a historic ruling that will undoubtedly protect millions of unborn lives.
Yeah, elected officials.
They have no space, no reason to make medical decisions for Wisconsin women, American women. Mm-hmm. There is no reason for them to be in the doctor's office and making legislation telling us how our bodies need to be treated.
Exactly. And to be very clear, Mike Gallagher has voted for, he actually introduced the Life Begins at Conception Act, which is a total abortion ban. He also co-sponsored a 6-week abortion ban. He is all in on a national abortion ban. And it gets even deeper than that. He has voted against access to contraception. Mike Gallagher has voted against access to contraception. This is not just about abortion. This is about his religious zealotry invading our personal lives.
It's deeply concerning. Kristen, Alicia, I sometimes get speechless because it's just so concerning. And it just, Kristen, so how many patients did you have when Roe fell?
How many patients did I have?
Yeah.
When, like in a day?
Yeah.
So many, so many. Yeah. I mean, 20 or 30 patients a day who would be coming in looking for advice, looking for information so that they could make their own decisions. You know, you can't make a decision in a vacuum, but you have to make a decision based on where you're at in your life and what kind of support you have.
Yeah.
Ladies, the work to overturn or to have some change in the 8th Congressional District is not just being done at the individual level, as you and others may consider running in the race, but from the standpoint of just the district in general. And there is actually a political action committee that is more district focused than on any one candidate, Kristen, right?
Yeah. So like I said earlier, this is a unified effort. And one of our dear teammates, Julie Hancock, who I'm sure we're going to have on in a couple weeks, Julie was a write-in candidate against Mike Gallagher in the last cycle. Julie has put together, she's an attorney, and she's put together a PAC dedicated to electing a Democrat in November. So whoever ends up being the Democratic candidate for the general election, that's what this PAC will support. And that's what Pat is sharing here. NewBluePAC.org is the URL for the website. I encourage you to go to it, check it out. There are links there, importantly, to Mike Gallagher's record. And, you know, we don't need to bash Mike Gallagher personally, and we wouldn't do that. But Mike Gallagher's record is really, it's incriminating. It's ridiculous. It's terrible. He's been walking a very fine line for a long time, and we're starting to see that crumble now with some of the recent news. And Kelly, I'm sure you have been watching the news very closely. What's your take on some of the things that have been happening recently with Representative Gallagher?
It's a mess. It's a mess, and it's an embarrassment. I wish if we could keep going, if we could just keep going, it's a mess. Sometimes I just get baffled, but yeah, there's more we can do, and there's more we can do together and move Wisconsin forward.
Mm-hmm. And again, to learn more about that, the PAC is called New, N-E-W for Northeast Wisconsin, newbluepac.org. And that's where you'll learn more about the issues, more about the district. But then, of course, from these women, I am sure we will be hearing more from Kelly Peterson from De Pere, Alicia Saunders from Kimberly, and of course, Kristen Lyerly, the pride of Kaukauna, all joining us here. And not a bit of rivalry among these three whatsoever in Northeast Wisconsin. A formidable team, and really, I'm so thankful, Kelly and Alicia, that you could join us for this today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. When we come back, we will be back here at the Civic Media headquarters at the top of State Street, right off Capitol Square, where I'm sitting where Todd Alba and Luke Mathers brainstorm all of the fine programming that comes across these airwaves, or they just throw spitballs at each other based on the mess that I'm seeing here. One way or another, we'll get to the bottom of it coming up in just a bit. You're up north. Then get back to business. Now, sometimes we work very hard to make the bumper music work here and, you know, make it apropos to the guest. And sometimes the best laid plans go to waste because I was all set for Luke Mathers to be sitting here right next to me playing the Imperial March from the Star Wars trilogy. And then I was going to completely blast Greg for making Luke Mathers look like a villain, like he was, you know, part of Darth Vader. And the whole thing doesn't work because as I turn to this empty chair here next to me, Kristen, there's no look. He was
wow,
here.
Pat
he
just him, right? Outed himself as a jerk.
Yes, or a master manipulator. He was honest to God. He was here next to me a minute ago.
Someone's got to mute their audio because we're getting some echo.
Luke.
Okay. We're gonna start it over. Okay, here we go. I got the music all set up for Luke.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, here's Luke Mathers. Oh, look, Greg just outed himself as a jerk. So.
Suck
Mr.
It,
Mathers, have we figured out your situation there? No,
maybe.
you have a bit of an echo. I don't know where you're getting it from, if there's a pair of headphones sitting nearby or something like that. But anyway, I see you somewhere here in the Civic Media headquarters.
The only echo could be coming from you because I tried to sit up next to you. I did. But if I was successful at unplugging that, I didn't know you only had one audio jack report.
Oh, we're so sending this segment to the WBA.
I was now, just
the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is going
and
to.
Then it was short on time. I'm sorry.
We're good.
That's all right. I was showing folks before. Now I'm sitting at Todd Alba's desk, but they're over my shoulder. There's Luke Mathers' desk, and sitting over there is a banana that I can only best describe as dating back to the Bill Clinton administration.
How do you do that?
I'm going to come to your place where you normally work.
Pat, you listen to me right now. How dare you say a turn thing about the capable, handsome, healthy?
You're the guy that was playing the Imperial March.
Clinton administration either, because that banana still has yellow on it. I was born during the Clinton administration.
Oh, look, plant biologist Luke Mathers wants to talk to us now about how bananas grow.
You should really not pick on Luke's banana like that.
It'll never heal.
Luke, thanks for the hospitality.
We finish this segment just to prove that it's still good.
It's nice to be here. How's everything around Civic Media World, apart from, you know, nice furniture?
We're having fun. We're doing
having fun
things.
And growing fast. Yes.
Yeah, it's a good time. Mr. Chad Holmes is on StreamYard now, so I was working with him and the Chad Holmes Show up in Bull Falls Radio WXCO. So they're all set up now. We're very excited to be offering a visual component for our shows. So almost all of the Civic Media shows now also giving a component for streaming on social medias. Very excited about that. So you can follow your favorite shows on Facebook, X, or whatever you want to call the hellscape that is now that site that Elon Musk has just broken. YouTube, that one's still good. Things like that.
You can also check out the condition of any fresh produce that might be in the studio at the time.
Oh, let it go.
Smell it from here.
I know, you really can.
You know what? I'm on your side, Luke. You do what you want, America.
It was a snack that did not get to I didn't get to yesterday. I should have known I needed to tidy up my whole space.
We're in a city here with ants and rats and, most importantly, sales department people who get hungry sometimes. They work off commission, and as a result, they'll take your food right off the desk if they need to. So and
Pat's oversharing a little bit from his time when he was in sales that he used to steal off of other people's desks just to
no, but when I had two jobs to help get Sherry through med school, yes, I would. I was a waiter by night, and yeah, sometimes would help myself to, you know, some of the leftovers. But that's oversharing. For another time.
Plates.
Yeah, I mean, you just had to move the cigarette butts out of the way that they'd put out in the remains of their burrito.
This is great trash spaghetti.
I figure. Oh. So we've got StreamYard up for Chad Holmes, so I'm looking forward to being on his show in just a few minutes from now and having that work out all right. Continue working on studio build-outs all across Wisconsin, eventually coming to Chippewa Falls so that I won't have to necessarily come down here and invade your space.
That would stop you one bit if you had a studio up there.
It wouldn't, but at least
criticize my desk.
but at least I could get in for folks who missed it at the top of the show. I was locked out for the first 20 minutes by a key card system that has a special door wiggle that you need to know about in order to get into the building.
You know, it's how we make sure that we. It's just an added layer of security. If you don't know, you don't know.
If you don't know, you don't know. You can have a key card. But if you don't know the special door wiggle,
right? It's like knowing the secret handshake or the secret knock, Pat. You've never been in a club where you know you needed a little extra layer of security.
I would never be in a club that would have me as a member.
This is just getting really mean. I feel it's just.
All kidding aside, we do have something really fun as well going on this weekend. We've got, if you are listening in WRCO, Southeastern Wisconsin, you can tune in on the radio to the big game this weekend, the Super Bowl 58, between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Almost forgot who was playing for a second there.
But, Taylor Swift.
Those two teams facing off, the broadcast coverage starting on WRCO at 1 p.m. this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. Gonna be a very, very good time. So if you're in southwestern Wisconsin, tune in WRCO from Richland Center.
It makes you wonder, for all the fuss about TV commercials during the Super Bowl, if the people who make the radio commercials, if they feel like the bar's been raised a little higher, that they've got to make the best stuff. And by the way, I mean, it radio commercials over history, I mean, what you can do with theater of the mind is amazing. And I feel like people are kind of missing out on that these days in the era of TV. But boy, a good radio commercial is tough to beat.
It's feeling a little vaudevillian.
Sure. I don't know about that one, Pat. I've seen some pretty cool commercials.
Anyway.
Hey, you know what? Greg and I are going to be back together again at 11 on Jane's show for public service announcement.
That's right. Part of Matt and Air on Air. So we've got that coming for your questions. And Kristen, you have safe travels otherwise. I hope you've enjoyed your little homestand.
It's been nice. I'll wave at Brittany as I drive through Wausau.
There you go. All right. Enjoy. Greg, thank you. I will see you tomorrow. You in Waukesha, me here in Madison. And Luke, I see that this door to your office locks. So good luck getting to your banana.
Just wiggle the handle.
Thanks so much.
Just wiggle the handle.
Oh, this has a door wiggle too?
Just wiggle the handle to get to your banana. Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for being a part of this. We're going to do it tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. God willing, and a fair wind blowing. Have a great day.